Chapter 29 The Phoenix Lament.
Come here, Harry.
No.
You can't stay here, Harry. Come on now.
No. He did not want to leave Dumbledore's side. He did not want to move anywhere. Hagrid's hand on his shoulder was trembling. Then another voice said,
Harry, come on.
A much smaller and warmer hand had enclosed his and was pulling him upward. He obeyed its pressure without really thinking about it. Only as he walked blindly back through the crowd did he realize, from a trace of flowery scent on the air, that it was Ginny who was leading him back into the castle. Incomprehensible voices battered him. Sobs and shouts and wails stabbed the night. But Harry and Ginny walked on, back up the steps into the entrance hall. Faces swam on the edges of Harry's vision. People were peering at him, whispering, wondering, and Gryffindor rubies glistened on the floor like drops of blood as they made their way toward the marble staircase.
"We're going to the hospital wing," said Ginny. "I'm not hurt," said Harry. "It's McGonagall's orders," said Ginny. "Everyone's up there, Ron and Hermione and Lupin and everyone."
Fear stirred in Harry's chest again. He had forgotten the inert figures he had left behind.
"Ginny, who else is dead?" "Don't worry, none of us."
"But the dark mark. Malfoy said he stepped over a body."
"He stepped over Bill. But it's all right. He's alive."
There was something in her voice, however, that Harry knew boded ill. "Are you sure?"
"Of course I'm sure. He's a bit of a mess, that's all.
Greyback attacked him. Madame Pomfrey says he won't look the same any more." Ginny's voice trembled a little.
"We don't really know what the after effects will be. I mean, Greyback being a werewolf, but not transformed at the time."
"But the others, there were other bodies on the ground."
"Neville and Professor Flitwick are both hurt, but Madame Pomfrey says they'll be all right. And a Death Eater's dead. He got hit by a killing curse that huge blonde one was firing off everywhere. Harry, if we hadn't had your Felix potion, I think we'd all have been killed. But everything seemed to just miss us."
They had reached the hospital wing. Pushing open the doors, Harry saw Neville lying, apparently asleep, in a bed near the door. Ron, Hermione, Luna, Tonks, and Lupin were gathered around another bed near the far end of the ward. At the sound of the doors opening, they all looked up. Hermione ran to Harry and hugged him. Lupin moved forward too, looking anxious.
"Are you all right, Harry?"
"I'm fine. How's Bill?"
Nobody answered. Harry looked over Hermione's shoulder and saw an unrecognizable face lying on Bill's pillow, so badly slashed and ripped that he looked grotesque. Madame Pomfrey was dabbing at his wounds with some harsh-smelling green ointment. Harry remembered how Snape had mended Malfoy's septum semper wounds so easily with his wand.
"Can't you fix them with a charm or something?" he asked the matron. "No charm will work on these," said Madame Pomfrey. "I've tried everything I know, but there is no cure for werewolf bites." "But he wasn't bitten at the full moon,"
said Ron, who was gazing down into his brother's face as though he could somehow force him to mend just by staring.
"Greyback hadn't transformed, so surely Bill won't be a real..."
He looked uncertainly at Lupin.
"No, I don't think that Bill will be a true werewolf," said Lupin. "But that does not mean that there won't be some contamination. Those are cursed wounds. They are unlikely ever to heal fully, and Bill might have some wolfish characteristics from now on."
"Dumbledore might know something that'd work, though," Ron said.
"Where is he? Bill fought those maniacs on Dumbledore's orders. Dumbledore owes him. He can't leave him in this state."
"Ron, Dumbledore's dead," said Ginny.
"No!"
Lupin looked wildly from Ginny to Harry, as though hoping the latter might contradict her. But when Harry did not, Lupin collapsed into a chair beside Bill's bed, his hands over his face. Harry had never seen Lupin lose control before. He felt as though he was intruding upon something private, indecent. He turned away and caught Ron's eye instead, exchanging in silence a look that confirmed what Ginny had said.
"How did he die?"
whispered Tonks.
"How did it happen?"
"Snape killed him,"
said Harry. I was there. I saw it.
We arrived back on the astronomy tower because that's where the mark was. Dumbledore was ill, he was weak, but I think he realized it was a trap when we heard footsteps running up the stairs. He immobilized me, I couldn't do anything. I was under the invisibility cloak, and then Malfoy came through the door and disarmed him. Hermione clapped her hands to her mouth, and Ron groaned. Luna's mouth trembled. More Death Eaters arrived, and then Snape.
And Snape did it.
The Avada Kedavra.
Harry couldn't go on. Madame Pomfrey burst into tears. Nobody paid her any attention except Ginny, who whispered,
"Shh, listen."
Gulping, Madame Pomfrey pressed her fingers to her mouth, her eyes wide. Somewhere out in the darkness, a phoenix was singing in a way Harry had never heard before, a stricken lament of terrible beauty. And Harry felt, as he had felt about Phoenix Song before, that the music was inside him, not without. It was his own grief turned magically to song that echoed across the grounds and through the castle windows. How long they all stood there, listening, he did not know, nor why it seemed to ease their pain a little to listen to the sound of their mourning. But it felt like a long time later that the hospital door opened again and Professor McGonagall entered the ward. Like all the rest, she bore marks of the recent battle. There were grazes on her face and her robes were ripped.
"Molly and Arthur are on their way," she said,
and the spell of the music was broken.